Okay, we're in the Gemara Makkos 9b, Tesama Beis. We were in the middle of a Mishnah. We're discussing now the details of the actual cities of refuge. Just to recap briefly, there are three cities of refuge on the east bank of the Jordan and three cities of refuge on the west bank of the Jordan. The three on the east bank, although Moshe set them up first, they didn't begin operating until the three on the west bank were also there, because the pasuk says there's six of them. Then we said they had to prepare roads that would go from the cities to the Ir HaMiklats. And then we would have two scholars accompany the person who killed unintentionally to take him to the Ir HaMiklats, so they would dissuade the Goel Adam to kill him. And Rabbi Meir adds that even the person himself, the killer himself, can speak on his behalf. So that's where we're up to. We're not done with the Mishnah. Now we're going to close it off with a statement from Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yossi, the son of Yehuda, says the following. Now, in the beginning, how do you know if a person's killed intentionally or unintentionally or accidentally? You just know one thing. There's a person who killed another person. So this is how we start things off. Bitchila, initially, as soon as a killing has taken place, echad shochet ve'echad meizi, doesn't matter if it was inadvertent or intentional, makdimin l'aramiklat. We get them quickly to go to the aramiklat, just so no one takes the law in their own hands, not that we make any, like, right away there could be emotions, this and that, kill them, this, that, people already think they know what's going on, let's just get them there and protect them for a while. Okay, so interesting, the commentary here says, according to the Tana, the Mishnah, the city of refuge protects even an intentional murderer pending his trial. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the guy's, even though he mamish maybe blatantly killed him, but we don't take the law, no vigilantes right now. First, we got to give him due process. So first he goes there. Everybody goes there for starters, yeah?
Quick question, if a Goel Adam can kill someone who killed by Shogeg, is it a? Is he also able to kill a guy who killed Bemezid and just get away with it? Does he have the right?
He doesn't have the right till Bezin has established that. First of all, they have to establish that he's guilty of murder. Uh-huh. Once he's guilty of murder, then the Bezin immediately he's sent to his death. Mm-hmm. Now you could have the Goel Adam be the one to execute. Mm-hmm. But that's in a controlled fashion. Mm-hmm. We just have people, the guy killed my brother, I'm killing him this minute. Yeah. There has to be due process over here. So the intentional killer, he has this refuge until he goes to trial. Okay, now what happened? So anybody who kills goes to the Ir HaMiklat, number one. Quickly as possible.
They force him to go. Suppose he says, I don't want to go.
Then somebody else can kill him.
Then somebody might kill him. It's for his protection. It's definitely for his protection. Okay? He doesn't want to be protected, you know.
A military guy, maybe.
Now, next. Ubezdin, and it could be Bezdin's not ready to see. There's a few other things. I mean, they escort him there. They want to make sure he's like in sort of a jail because they don't want the guy running away either. So we got to get him there. Now, next, Ubezdin Sholchin, then Bezdin calls for the guy, Umevino Somisham, and they bring him from there. So now the Bezdin goes and checks out what happened. So one of three things are going to happen. Number one, Mish and Ischayev Misa Bebez, and if they judge that he really was guilty of intentional murder and he has to be executed, Hargu, they kill him. And to that point, you could let the Goel Adam be the ones to execute him. Next, Ushalo Nischayev Misa. Anyone who's not Chayev Misa and is completely innocent, it was a total accident. He was going up the ladder. For example, Patrua, he's excused, he's exonerated, and now the Goel Adam can't touch the guy. And if they do, they'd kill the Goel Adam for murder. Third possibility, Mish Nischayev goes, if they determined, let's say he was going down the ladder, and he has to go to exile, then Machzir no Solomon Kono, they return him back to the city of refuge that he went to. How do we know this? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'hashivu also ha'eda el ir miklato," and the tribunal will return the fellow to the city of refuge that he was at. Interesting. There's a fourth category the Mishnah doesn't deal with. If you remember, namely one who's not subject to execution, but is nevertheless liable to death at the hands of Gol Adam because he killed intentionally, but without having been warned, or with gross negligence. Remember we said Karov Lamezid? Okay, let's look at this. According to the Rambam, these killers are not afforded protection by the cities of refuge, and they remain subject to the vengeance of the Gol Adam. Okay, so that's that fourth category. So this is, see, Shelley, how these guys aren't getting away with a lot of things over here, right? You know, he got off. They didn't warn him or whatever. So therefore, the Gol Adam can kill him. And if he's close, they say, listen, you're closer to a Mazid, and Ira Miklat's not good enough for you, but we can't kill him, right? That's all in the Rambam. Let's see, is he going to bring it up for us? No, I have to buy the Rambam. Okay, that's fine.
We haven't got to that one yet.
Oh, yes.
We did it?
Well, we could go to it. If you want, I could show it to you in a minute.
Did you do that in the Rambam already?
I have to go back. One second. Let me fix this up here. One second. So it was probably about 10 years ago. So it's possible that either one of us read. Look, Hilchos Rotzeach 6:1-5. Hang on. We could look it up. One second. Rambam. One second. Get it in 1 minute. Okay, where's Rotzeach going to be in?
Nezikin.
Here, Hilchos Rotzeach. What did I say it was? What was it? Chapter what? Again, 6:1-5. Okay, there's the Rambam. There are three categories of unintentional killers. There's a person who kills unintentionally without at all knowing that this will be the consequence of his actions. Concerning such a person who did not lay an ambush, the law applying to such a person is that he should be exiled to a city of refuge, as we explained. That's the classic shogig. Want it bigger?
Yeah.
How's that? There's a person who kills unintentionally whose act resembles those caused by forces beyond his control. That the death will be caused by an extraordinary phenomenon that does not commonly occur. Such a person is not liably expelled, and if he is slain by the blood redeemer, the blood should be executed for killing him. That's ones. There's a person who kills unintentionally whose acts resemble those willfully perpetrated. They involve negligence or that care should have been taken with regard to a certain factor and it was not. Such a person is not sentenced to exile because his sin is very severe and exile cannot bring him atonement. Nor do the cities of refuge serve as a haven for him, for they serve as a haven only for those obligated to be exiled. Therefore, if the blood redeemer finds the killer anyone slays him, he is not liable. Mm-hmm. Boom. So what should a person do? Sit and protect himself from the blood redeemer. Some of the blood redeemer slays any of the murderers whose acts were observed by only one witness or were not given a warning or the like. The blood redeemer is not liable for execution. Killing such individuals should not be considered more severe than killing a person who killed unintentionally. Okay, so that's the ground rules.
So that leaves them open to warfare between the family and him. Like, how's it going to be resolved?
Well, they just kill him. You have a witness. This question that was bothering us. Well, this guy gets off on a technicality. They forgot to warn him. One witness. We know he killed him. We didn't warn him. So we can't. Besson can't kill him. But the blood redeemers can kill him. That's it. Now, blood redeemers might want to think twice if the guy's a...
They would be absolved.
If the guy's a Marine and has... the murderer is a Marine and has all kinds of weapons with him, he might not try to kill him. Because remember, the guy can defend himself.
Exactly.
So it's warfare. Okay.
Traps.
But at least so people will think twice about it.
Like a brother or...
Yeah, it's a relative. Okay, good. Back to... That was the end of the Mishnah. Okay, now we begin to go back to the original details about the six cities of refuge. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbi said, Shalosh Orim Hivdil Moshe Be'er Yardim. Moshe Rabbeinu he allocated three cities of refuge, as you'll see in a couple of weeks coming up in the parshas over here, on the east bank. Who connect them and opposite them, parallel to them, Hivil Yoshua Be'eretz Canaan. Yoshua divided up in the land of Canaan, the West Bank. Umechuvenes hayu kamin shtei shur shebekerem. They paralleled each other like two parallel rows in a vineyard. Just like one's parallel to the other. I'll show you a picture in a minute. Maybe I'll show you. I'm going to read it first, then I'm going to show a picture, because I don't think Art Scroll gives you a picture. Now we're starting from south, north. We're going from below to above. Hebron, which is the most south, Ir HaMiklot, that was in West Bank. Keneged paralleled Betzer, which was in the desert, Bemidbor, which is on the East Bank. Moving up to central Israel, Shechem, the city of Shechem, which is in Har Ephraim, Mount Ephraim, Keneged Ramah in Gilad, that's the middle one on the East Bank, and Kadesh, which is north, Bahar Naphtali, in the mountains of Naphtali, Keneged Golan Babashan, opposite the Golan in the Bashan. Okay, the designation of the three cities in Transjordan is described in blah, blah, blah. Fine. Now, let's get a picture out here. I hope this picture is going to come out large enough. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay, so now I got to show you what you're looking at. That's the best picture I could find.
Okay.
Okay, here, East Bank. Here's the what? This is Hebron.
Yeah.
This is Shechem.
Mm-hmm.
See this little building? That's called Ir HaMiklot.
Mm-hmm.
And that one up there. Those are the three. Opposite them, as close as you can make it, you got Betzer, and then the next one here, and the next one there.
Mm.
Okay, it's approximately. Now, what you're going to see in a minute is a really good map for Eretz Yisrael, the biblical Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Just for your orientation, there's Yerushalayim. Okay, there's Be'er Sheva. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not really so good. That should be much
more.
And Hebron should be much higher. Okay, so it's not 100%
mm-hmm.
scaled. Okay, now, what the Mishnah is going to tell you next is how they divided it. So assuming this is the most southern border, and up here is the most northern border, so they place the Ir HaMiklot like this, to make it simple, you want to look at it as four quarters. Okay, so let's say that these middle ones, because they're smack in the middle, okay, so half below, half above. Then the bottom southern Ir HaMiklot is halfway between the middle one and the southern border. Well, it's not exactly in this map.
Okay.
And then the same with here. From here to here is halfway, and then from there to there is to the border. So in other words, imagine that's four quadrants. All right? Mm-hmm. Quadrant one is from the northern border till this Ir HaMiklot, which would be about here.
Mm-hmm.
Quadrant two is from that Ir HaMiklot to the middle one. Quadrant 3 is from the middle one to the southern one, and quadrant 4 from the southern one to the southern border. That's what the Mishnah is going to say. So there's three Ir HaMiklots, but imagine that it's dividing up the land into four quarters with one Ir HaMiklot at the end of the first quarter, the next Ir HaMiklot at the end of the second quarter, the next Ir HaMiklot at the third quarter, and then the boundary.
So that's only in the west bank.
Same thing with the east bank.
Paralleled it.
Same thing.
Okay.
Okay, it's not exactly... and if you look at the... I'll email this map to you guys.
Okay.
You can't read it here, but it says Betzer, Ramat. It says the names of them over there. That's a nice handy map if you're learning about Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So that was about after an hour of looking around the internet to try to find. This one comes from Torah Masorah, so that's according to the Gro. You have to know one thing in general. Nobody really has an 100% accurate map of ancient Israel. There's big arguments exactly where it was, exactly how the tribes worked out. So you never know 100%.
But Hebron, right?
Well, Hebron, we know where Hebron is.
Exactly.
You know where Hebron is, you know where Yerushalayim is, certainly. You know where the Yam Kinneret is, you know where the Yam HaMelech is, you know where the Yam HaGadol is, you know where the Yarden is. After that, it's there's a lot of speculation, you know, where Shiloh is. There seems to be a lot of proof that where we know Sheol is now is where Sheol was. But after that, it's very difficult. Anyway, so now that I gave you that little overview with the map, now you're going to understand what we're going to read in the Gemara now. Exactly what I told you. Okay. So now, Kedesh, Bahar Naphtali. Now he's going from north down to south. Kedesh, which is in the mountain of Naphtali, is Keneged Golan Babashan. Parallels Golan in the Bashan. That's on the east bank on the north side. Okay. Oh, that I did that. Okay. Vishilashta. The Pasuk says Vishilashta. You divide into three the boundary of the land. Now, this is a little confusing. The way I explained it is correct, but you have to fit the Gemara into this. Mean to say, Sheyaho Mishuloshin. The city should be spaced so that they lie upon each of the three dividing lines in a way that there's equal amount of space behind them. So, Mishuloshin doesn't mean tripled. It means they're equally divided. Use the three as the markers to equally divide them. And this is how
three lines of division will make four quarters.
That's exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
For example, Sheyehe Midarum, from the southern border, Lechevron till Chevron should be the same space, then Kemechevron from Chevron to Shechem, which is the middle. Umechevron, and from Chevron
to Shechem,
the distance from Chevron to Shechem is the same distance from Shechem to Kedesh. From Shechem to Kedesh. Okay? Umi Shechem to Kedesh, and from Shechem to Kedesh, from Kedesh to Tzafon, to the same distance from Kedesh to the northern border. All right? Same idea. It's four quadrants. And the same thing is on the east bank as well. Okay? Now, interesting. There's different commentaries here. Look what our scroll has. Not everybody agrees with it. This requirement of dividing land three times applied to Israel proper. The three cities transferred did not divide in this manner, for they were situated parallel to the cities in Eretz Yisrael, as mentioned in the Brisa. I don't understand that sentence at all.
Did not divide the same way anyway.
Yeah, he's saying if they're parallel, so how are they not divided? Unless
exactly
the northern and southern borders were higher and lower. That's what could be. It could be northern and southern were higher, so it could be a little bit shorter or longer. Northern, again, take a look at the map again, just for...
So this was made to make it convenient for the guys to go there, have access to
it. So it could very well be, for example, maybe this went higher and this didn't. Northern border and southern are not precise, but these did have to be pretty much parallel to each other. Okay, fine. So we're trying to give equal access.
Right.
However, they're going to have some interesting questions in a minute. Okay, that is the end of the Bryce. End of the Bryce. Gemara now is going to analyze this. First question they're going to ask is, okay, how many tribes, again, let's take a look. It's good to look one more time. How many tribes were on the west bank? So let's take a look. You got Yehuda over here is in the south. Interesting, by the way, Shimon never had its own separate area. They were subsumed within Yehuda for reasons that Yaakov didn't want,
like Levi,
didn't want
right?
Shimon to have his own section because Shimon was a troublemaker.
Like Levi.
right? Levi and Shimon didn't have their own. You see, every tribe has specific boundaries. Shimon is not Yehuda. This is Yehuda. Shimon has a couple cities all in Yehuda. Because Hashem didn't want Shimon to have his own area. Just like Levi doesn't have their own area. Because Shimon and Levi wiped out Shimon.
Different reasons.
So you've got, so you got one tribe here. The Yamin is two. Dan is three. Ephraim is four. Half of Menashe, 4.5. Yisachar, 5.5. Zebulun, 6.5. Asher, 7.5. Naphtali, 8.5. Asher,
9.5.
Don has two spots.
Yeah.
See, Don and Don.
Is that because you don't know which one it is?
Oh, no, they got two spots.
It's 9.5.
on this side, Reuven one, one half of Menashe, a half. So what question should you be asking at this point in time? How many cities of refuge on the West Bank?
Three.
How many on the East Bank?
Three.
How many tribes on the West Bank?
Nine and a half.
How many on the East Bank?
Three.
So you don't have a question to ask?
Yeah.
You, why are there so many on the West Bank, or rather, so yeah, two and a half tribes get three cities of refuge? What's going on over there?
Well, it's not
that the population wasn't equal to that. In other words, the population on the West Bank was approximately three times that of the East Bank. So shouldn't there be a different allocation of cities? If you have, let's say, three on the East Bank, you should have nine on the West Bank. Right. There should be a proportionate allocation of the cities of refuge. That's the Gemara's question coming up. So Gemara says, Be'aver Hayardin Klas. On the East Bank, you have three. Be'eretz Yisrael Tlas. On the West Bank, you have three? That doesn't make any sense. They should have equal amounts. Listen to this answer. Amar Abaye, Abaye answers, Be'gilad Shchichi Rotzchim. In Gilad, meaning the East Bank, murder was more common. Okay, now, obviously, had not yet occurred yet, because nobody was killing anybody yet when they were allocating these cities. But Hashem knew that, and what he saw what would be in the future. That's why the Ramban explains this. Wow. Now, of course, you could turn around and ask me another question.
It's not for us.
What?
It's for Shogi.
Oh, very good question. He said like this, the city of refuge are only for unintentional murderers. But this is, you tell me there's more intentional murderers. So what's that, what's it going to help? So there's a couple answers. First answer is, like Shelley says, well, you got to take every murderer first to an Eira Mikla before we decide what to do. That's one explanation. A second explanation is, if you recall, no, you can't recall. We didn't get to it. I don't think we did it yet. It's coming up. The Gemara says, well, whatever happens, you know, the Gemara describes God's long hand of divine justice. So what happens when a guy kills someone intentionally and nobody sees it?
Then
so what happens? He gets away with it?
No.
Or what happens if a guy kills unintentionally and nobody saw it?
He gets killed.
So does he get away with it? So what happens? Hashem works it out that one day the guy who killed intentionally and the guy who happened to unintentionally happened to be in the same city at the same time. And the guy who killed unintentionally without witnesses climbs a ladder. The guy who kills intentionally walks past the ladder. Then, as everybody's watching, the unintentional guy falls, kills the intentional guy. Everybody sees this. So, first of all, the intentional guy, he got his punishment. The unintentional guy, now as a witness, he goes into the gulls. So how does that help us answer this question here? So there could have been a lot of murderers, but a lot of murderers, they probably got away with a lot of murders. You know, murderers are pretty smart. So they get away with murder. So Hashem has to create a lot of... And in general, when there's a lot of intentional murder, that means the respect for life is lax. And therefore, there's going to be, usually parallel to that, many unintentional murderers. You know what I'm saying? Because unintentional, you could have been more careful. Right? When you don't care about human life, when there's people who want to kill intentionally, then it's a ripple effect. There's others that may kill more unintentionally. If people don't care about themselves, about others, so people will speed more and things like that. And therefore, God's going to have unintentional killing of the intentional guys who think they're getting away with things. So that's why you have to, that's the second answer to that question. Yeah?
When it says, when Abaye says, Gilad Shriche Rotzchim, Gilad Ramot is the middle city in the...
But it means that in general. It means the East Bank.
Not just that.
It means the East Bank.
Okay.
How do we know this? Next page, Yud Amid Aleph. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Gilad Kiryas Poale Oven Akuva Midam. Gilad is a city of evildoers filled with those who waylay for blood. Gemara wants to know, what do those last two words mean? My ikuva midam. What does it mean? Waylay for blood. Amar Rabbi Elazar. The word akuva is similar to shahayu okvim laharog nefashos. They would wait in ambush in order to murder people.
Okay. Oh, so he brings out that question. I'll just repeat it the way he writes it over here. He asked the question that I asked already. Ramban explains that many of the intentional murders would attempt to escape Kavod Hashem by making their killing seem accidental. Therefore, those murderers would ultimately be sentenced to exile in the city of Refuge. That's the third answer. Thus, more cities are needed to accommodate all the killers. Tosfos here offers a different explanation. The Gemara below teaches, I did all that. I explained all that for you. Okay, Gur Aryeh at the bottom explains that inadvertent killings are the result of negligence caused by callous disregard for human life. I said that as well, which is prevalent in Gilead. Thus, a place where murder was more common, inadvertent killings were also more. Okay, so those are the answers to those questions. Now, the question is, now you have a second question now. And now, let's go back to this map for a minute. And you're going to notice something else over here. Okay, so you have a city of refuge here. Now, it's possible that greatest distance of land for someone in this area to get to a city of refuge, he has to go a quarter of the distance of the land of Israel to get to a city of refuge, correct?
No.
When you're on the southern border here, a guy could be very far from a city of refuge. He may have to traverse one quarter the length of Israel. It's very far. Guy in the north, same thing, would have to go possibly one quarter of that distance. On the other hand, when you're more centrally located, it'll never be from here to here in this area. You never have to go more than an eighth of the land of Israel. Because the furthest distance you could be is smack here, which is only one eighth of the distance of the land of Israel.
Right.
So it seems a little not fair that guys who kill here have a much possibly greater distance, up to a quarter of the land of Israel. Well, guys here have never more than half of that distance, which is one eighth. So it seems you're giving the guys of the interior a better chance of saving themselves. Doesn't seem to be equitable either. Okay, that's coming up to be the next question. So the Gemara asks, Umayishno mehai gisa mehai gisa de merachbi. Why is it that if you're on this side as opposed to that side are much further away, meaning ones, the ones on the northern and the southern borders have a longer distance to go to the Ir HaMiklat? Umayishno, why is it different? Mitzioi, the middle ones, the Makarvi, that were closer to the Ir HaMiklat. Okay, so you're only going half of the amount of distance everybody else is going. So why does the interior part, the central part, have closer accessibility to Ir HaMiklat than the extreme northern and southern sides? Look at this. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Bishchem, that area around Shchem in central Israel, Nami Shchichi Rotschim, murderers are more common over there as well. So therefore, that interior area needs more accessibility. How do we know that? Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, Uch Chakei Ish, Gidudim Chever, and like gangs waiting a man, okay? Kohanim derech uchachei ish gedudim, comma chever kohanim, and like a band of kohanim derech yiratzchu shchema, on the road to Shchem. Kohanim who are murderers on the road to Shchem. Okay, so the simple meaning of the word where it says shechma is with one will. All right, the Gemara although learns homilega is referring to Shchem. So Shechma means with one will, but it has the letter Shechem. So what does that mean? So my Chever Kohanim, what do they mean, a band of Kohanim? Surely Kohanim weren't killers. Kohanim aren't killers. What are you calling them? A band of Kohanim are killers? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, we're learning to say, Shehoyu Mischabrim Larig Nefashas, they would band together to kill people. Kohanim halol, just like the righteous Kohanim, Shemischabrim lachlok trumos beis agrados, who would go to the granaries to get their tithes. And it was just like Kohanim would converge together in groups to the silos to collect their grain, which was a mitzvah. The murderers banded together like Kohanim to kill people. They'd go as a group. That way they could escape punishment. Right? You kill people, You know, doesn't it's hard to punish if a whole bang of MS-13 guys get together. It's hard for people to stop them. Okay, so that answers that. Now the Gemara says, well, hold on, wait a minute. There's something altogether missing over there. Is this all the total? Are you going to tell me the total amount of City of Refuge was six? Vesuleka, was there no more? Let's go back into the Chumash and you'll see not so. It is written in Sefer Bamidbar coming up, Valehem, and in addition to the six cities of refuge, Titnu Arboim Ushtaim Ir, there should be 42 more cities. And I'm sorry, I don't have a map for, I do have one, I have to pick a picture of it, but there are 42 more cities
of refuge.
Of refuge, because those are the Levite cities. Mm-hmm. The Levites were given 42 cities throughout Eretz Yisrael. The Levites have to live somewhere. They don't have a portion. They don't have a chunk of land. So they're scattered about in 42 cities, those Levite cities, which also are cities of refuge. Mm-hmm. So now, what are you telling me? The Bryce says six. There's really 48. Okay. And that already would be answering some other questions. But anyway, so Nagmar says a very interesting answer, hard answer to understand. Amar Abaye says, there's a difference between the six and the 42. Halalu, these six, kultos, they provide refuge, bein ledas, bein shelo ledas. Whether the person was aware of their refuge status or not. Halolo, but the other 42, Ladas Koltos, only if you know that they're a city of refuge, do they work? Shalol Ladas Einu Koltos, but when you're not aware of their ability, they don't help. Very interesting answer, hard to understand. That is, he fled to the city but didn't realize it provides legal refuge.
Why did you fled
it? Well, you have to go somewhere, but he didn't know it's a city of refuge. Sometimes you want to hide somewhere. Yeah, you know, right. In your open fields, there's nowhere to hide.
No,
you go into a city, you hide. There's homes. You know, Jews hid from the Germans. You know, you go into a goy, say, hide me up. There's two things. There's a guy who wants to hide, doesn't want to get killed. And there's a guy who knows it's a city of refuge, yeah. And I can't get killed. So let's say he doesn't realize it's a city of refuge. So he's saying the six cities designated as airmen provide refuge even when he's unaware that it protects him. Thus, although the other 42 Levites are also refuge, the six specific areas possess a greater capacity to give refuge. That's a very difficult thing. So he's saying the 42 only help if you know it's a city of refuge and it protects you. If you just happen to go there, it doesn't help you. The commentators discuss other differences that exist between the six or Mikla and the 42 Levite cities. The Gemara below notes that a killer who is exiled to one of the six Ori Miklad need not pay rent for his lodgings. One who lives in the 42 other cities must pay rent. Or Chashulchan saying Tosefta cites that direct roads are not laid out to the other Levite cities, nor is the court obligated to ensure that provisions and water are available in those cities as they are with respect to the six Ori Miklad. Explains the Gemara here wish only to note the distinction existed between the cities with respect to their ability to provide refuge. So he's saying that although there were 42 others, they didn't provide the same type of protection as the other six. Why that's so, I don't know. I don't know why, and how would we know that a guy went into Syria and didn't know it protected him?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. And
who would protect him? Why?
No, when you go into the six, even if you don't know it's a city of refuge, once you're in there, you're home free.
Nobody else lived there.
No, the Levites lived there. There also were people. We'll see. The Gemara is going to talk about it. You had people living there. There's going to be all kinds of rules as how the city has to be inhabited. I'm sure it was Levites who were living there too, but it wasn't their city of rent. Yeah. The Levite cities were their city, so they could charge rent. The six big ones, although Levites may have lived there, but they can't charge rent.
Yeah.
So we're saying the six were bona fide 100%, giving you full coverage as it is, and full protection as it is. The 42 was less protection and less coverage. Now, why it is if a guy didn't know he was there, he's not protected, I don't know the answer to that. I cannot help you with that. I don't have a shot in that. Okay, we'll stop it over here. The Gemara tomorrow is going to ask certain questions. For example, is Chevron really an Ir HaMikvot? Certainly not. Chevron was given to Kalev as his own personal inheritance, so how could you call it an Ir HaMikvot? The Gemara is going to start asking questions about some of the cities. Are they indeed Ir HaMikvot? Okay, Shkoyach.